This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is California 21st District Representative Jim Costa. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. America's sweetest industry creates jobs and provides a sustainably produced food ingredient. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with California Congressman Jim Costa next. Did you know that the price of sugar for American households has recently been 5% lower than in other developed countries? In the U.S., 11,000 sugar beet and sugarcane farmers produce sugar under some of the world's highest safety, labor, and environmental standards. These hardworking Americans support more than 151,000 jobs in over two dozen states. They maintain a reliable domestic supply chain and contribute over $23 billion to the economy each year. American sugar companies pay fair wages and offer good benefits to their workers, including union jobs that are vital to rural and urban communities. The sugar program is the safety net for sugar producers in the Farm Bill. It has strong bipartisan support in Congress and is designed to cost the taxpayer nothing. The current sugar program provides flexibility to allow for a reliable supply throughout the year and to accommodate imported foreign sugar required under our trade commitments. Weakening the sugar program would lead to greater dependence on unreliable foreign suppliers, costing us, American farmers, good-paying jobs, and domestic food security for this essential ingredient. For more, visit the American Sugar Alliance at sugaralliance.org. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. California House Representative Jim Costa is one of the few farmer legislators on Capitol Hill. As a member of the House Committee on Agriculture, Costa represents food-producing constituents across the Central Valley. He's calling for disaster assistance and for a new farm bill, and he's hopeful a new speaker will bring compromise and results in the lower chamber.
The fact of the matter is the 22 days that we did not have a speaker was historic and in a bad way. We need to have a speaker of the House. And I was disappointed that we had 22 days of not doing the people's work and getting a budget and working on reauthorization of the Farm Bill and focusing on assistance to Israel and Ukraine and the challenges at our border, along with Taiwan and the humanitarian support and assistance. All of these things, critical issues that Congress must be dealing with. And obviously, those 22 days that we could not function because we did not have a speaker was painful and a sad commentary. The world was watching, wondering, you know, what's the nature and health of America's democracy. Now, I'm hopeful that this new speaker will be able to bring together the Republican conference, but the same issues still are out there, and that is it my way or the highway? Well, it can't be that way because we have divided government. We're not a parliament. Democrats are in control in the Senate, and we have a president who's Democratic, and therefore you've got to work on compromises on all of these issues. And so if the speaker is able to bring that spirit of compromise together, then he'll have success, and it will be good for the country.
Chairwoman Stabenow and Ranking Member Bozeman have both discussed a one-year extension to the Farm Bill into a November 17 continuing resolution. G.T. Thompson, the chair of the Ag Committee in the House, has said it doesn't need to be that long. What are your thoughts on an 18 extension while there's still the need for the new language?
Well, that may be the only course of action that we have. I read this morning where a group in the Republican conference is pressuring the new speaker to break with the agreement that Speaker McCarthy had back in the spring on the spending caps that involve the reauthorization of the Farm Bill along with other appropriation spendings and the work requirements that Speaker McCarthy agreed to. And they want to reopen those issues for the Farm Bill. And if I don't know if he was quoted accurately, but I thought I saw this morning where Chairman Thompson was indicated if those issues are reopened in that way, it will be a real problem to get a bipartisan bill out of committee, let alone one on the floor. I think that extension of the Farm Bill for 1 year by Boozman and Stabenow could well be the de facto alternative that we end up with if we're not able to reach the bipartisan agreements here in the House.
The pay for is the big issue, whether it's in the Senate chamber or the House chamber. Mr. Thompson has suggested or is curious of looking for pay fors. I'd be interested, do you think there are Democrats on the Ag Committee that would agree to take money from nutrition to pay for or ease restrictions to the IRA conservation funding?
I think both of those are going to be non-starters for the majority of Democrats on the House Ag Committee, either reducing the benefits or taking funds away from the IRA that are important conservation efforts that were worked on at great length in the previous Congress, and certainly the president wouldn't support them.
Are there any pay-fors, any options that the Democratic side of the aisle might see here to come up with an effective policy? It's just money in short supply.
Yes, and that's why the president agreed this spring with then Speaker McCarthy on 2 year spending caps. And I think I remember quite clearly the speaker taking credit for the reduction of the deficit that would provide over a period of 2 years.
How do you feel about the secretary's use of the Commodity Credit Corporation? Should Congress reel that in?
Well, I think we should give the same flexibility to the Secretary of Agriculture that we gave to the previous Secretary of Agriculture on the Commodity Credit Corporation. I remember during the pandemic, Secretary Perdue used the Commodity Credit Corporation for a whole host of other purposes, including supporting certain commodity groups in the Midwest that were being impacted by the tariff war that President Trump was engaged in with China. So it seems to me if that flexibility was appropriate for the previous Secretary of Agriculture, I feel confident that Secretary Vilsack should be afforded that same flexibility.
On the House Agriculture Committee, are the Democratic members pleased with the ranking member's leadership?
I'm not going to really comment. You know, we're trying to all work together. And, you know, we have challenges of the 19 years I've been in Congress with different members. You know, some of it's personality driven. Some of it relates to other factors. I know that Representative David Scott's working hard to try to keep the Democratic members of the House Ag Committee together. You know, I think that when you talk about members of Congress, whether they be Republican or Democratic, as witnessed in the speakership debacle, it's akin to sometimes herding squirrels, okay? And so, you know, I mean, I'm not going to make comments about, you know, my colleague's performance. I think that's counterproductive toward trying to get people to work together and to get the job done.
Understood. If there is a one-year extension of the 18 bill, is that adequate for your specialty crop producers and for the efforts towards sustainability?
Well, I am a strong supporter of sustainability. I'm a strong supporter of the conservation programs. I've got legislation that would double the size of the MAP program, the Market Access Program. 44% of California's agriculture is exported, and we need to have a level playing field. So I would support Senator Stabenow and Boozman's effort on an extension, if that is the only option left. But I would want to closely look at the impact of commodity crops in California, along with crop insurance and along with some of these very important conservation programs that really make a difference in California's agriculture economy, the number one agriculture state in the nation, $51 billion last year at the farm belt, farm gate, to continue to be successful and prosper. I am an unabashed advocate as a third-generation farmer, one of the few farmers in the House of Representatives, to ensure that American agriculture continues to be successful. I mean, the bottom line is food that American farmers, ranchers, dairymen, and women produce is a national security issue. I tell that to anyone who I can get an opportunity to be before. I mention it almost every time at this House Ag Committee. Food is a national security issue. That's why the farm reauthorization measure every 5 years is critical to America's safety net, not only to American agriculture, but the 41 million Americans that are food insecure and our children that are beneficiaries of the school lunch and breakfast program. It's all part of a national security issue, and that's what food on America's dinner table, in my mind, is all about.
When I look at issues that are specific to your district, I can't help but note your effort, along with some of your colleagues, seeking disaster aid. The country's had derechos and tornadoes and hurricanes, but California has had drought for some time.
Yes, and that drought for 3 years was the longest extended period of time where we had literally hundreds and thousands of acres in California that laid fallow because there was no water. And then this year, after we prayed and prayed and prayed for more rain, my gosh, I guess we prayed really good because it was near biblical, over 250% of the amount of rainfall and snow in the mountains than normal, much needed. But the disasters that occurred that impacted the flooding this year in January and March and April, whether it was on the coastal communities, the Salad Bowl of Salinas Valley, or in the fertile San Joaquin Valley that I represent, where rivers were flooding, inundated dairies, orchards, and our water systems, recreating a lake that had not existed for over two decades, flooding perhaps over close to 100,000 acres that are pretty much still being flooded. We deserve the same sort of disaster relief that farming regions in the Midwest and in the South are faced with when they have hurricanes, tornadoes, and other natural disasters that impact those rural communities. So it was very important that we resupplied FEMA with money, and we provide our rural communities in California that were impacted both by the floods of this year and the droughts of the last 3 years.
The water issue is one of those of too much or not enough. Your state has certainly felt that. The western part of the country has certainly felt that. The question is this a problem that seeks a national solution, a state solution, or will the answer come from a shared responsibility?
Well, I think it's a shared responsibility. With climate change having greater impacts not only in our country but around the world, I believe that water in the next 10 to 20 years around the world will rival energy as to whether or not nation states can live together amicably. When certain regions of the world no longer find themselves with sufficient water to feed themselves. And by the way, we say in California, where water flows, food grows. So when I'm saying feed themselves, you know, you can't grow any food without an adequate supply of water. Then it must be addressed. And with 7 billion people plus on the planet, by the middle of the century, over they have 9 billion, water security in the United States, in California, and around the world will continue to be a crucible, like energy, as to whether or not we can have sustainability in the planet in the 21st century. Climate change is real, and it's impacting water availability in California, in the United States, and around the world. Therefore, we need to use all the water tools in our water toolbox. We provided additional funding in the last Congress with the Bureau of Reclamation, additional funding with the Department of Army Corps of Engineers, and the state of California has made its own efforts to try to create greater water reliability for our agricultural needs, as well as for the rest of the challenges that we face in California as it relates to sustainability of our food production. We are trying to do a better job in groundwater recharge. We're focusing, as one of our water management tools, improving our existing water supply facilities by expanding reservoirs, improving our transfer systems in our canals, practicing greater water efficiency to ensure that we balance our overdraft challenges. And on coastal communities, where it's applicable, desalinization plays a role as well. But those are the water tools in our water toolbox that we must focus on to create that water reliability, that sustainability over the long term, knowing that at certain times we're going to have droughts and at other times we're going to have floods, as witnessed in the last 4 years.
Trade is important to U.S. agriculture. Trade is important to California. And now you have another issue arising with Turkey and U.S. almonds.
Yes. Turkey plans to raise the most favored nation duty on U.S. In-shell and shelled almonds by 15%. That's a 25% tariff on almonds. That's unfair. It's inappropriate. And we've sent a letter to the U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai calling for immediate action against Turkey's decision to increase the tariffs on American-grown almonds. In California, we produce 75% of all of the world's almonds. Let me repeat that. In California, we produce 75% of all of the world's almonds. Earlier this year, we made progress in negotiating with India. President Biden negotiated the removal of retaliatory tariffs on almonds, walnuts, and apples, and that was helpful. But certainly Turkey's aggressive action here is, I think, a tariff barrier, and it's an unfair trade practice. And we need to let Turkey know that we think it's adversarial. And as a partner in NATO, they certainly should be acting with better behavior.
Congressman, I'd like to get your thoughts on the legislation that you're helping to purport, the Converting Our Waste Sustainability Act, or the COWS Act.
Yes, we think that this is an important effort. It's bipartisan. The Converting Our Waste Sustainability would establish new manure management conservation program to, one, improve air quality, two, to implement sustainable farming practices. And California is leading this way. Let me give you an example. We have over 900 dairies in California. We produce 20% of all the milk products in America in California. People don't normally think of us as a dairy-producing state. And we have about a quarter, about 120 to 130 of our 900-plus dairies now have digesters that produce methane that creates energy and at the same time reduces the wastewater. So this is a way to control our emissions on our dairies, produce energy, and also reduce the wastewater that comes from that affluent of manure. It's a good conservation program dealing with air quality and better groundwater management. So I'm hopeful that this will become a part of the Farm Bill.
Some people's answer is to just get rid of the cows. Is that an option?
I'm a third-generation dairy farmer. we no longer have the dairy in our family anymore, but I think that is not an option. I think that it's a part of a good diet. The milk products that come throughout our country, whether we're talking about fluid milk or whether we're talking about the cheese that we all love or the ice cream products or the yogurt, all of this is part of a healthy diet. And so, therefore, nobody does it better than, you know, dairy men and women throughout the country. And we have some of the best in California.
Congressman, we want to thank you for being with us on this edition of Open Mic. You've been here before. Today you have the last word.
Well, I'm hopeful that we will be able to produce a bipartisan farm bill. This is the fourth time that I've had the opportunity to represent the incredible people of the San Joaquin Valley and the agricultural cornucopia of California, the number one agricultural state of the nation, and it has been for decades, for a whole lot of reasons, but first and most importantly, we need to have a farm bill because food is a national security issue. It's a national security issue for the men and women who produce that food along with the farm workers. The farm workers are an important part of that partnership of putting food on America's dinner table. And it's a national security issue for those people who are food insecure. And we must remember that. In the greatest nation in the world, representing one of the largest agricultural regions in the country, I can tell you that, sadly, we still have people and with their families that are food insecure, and food banks play an important role. So we need to have a bipartisan farm bill, and we have had for decades because we marry the two interests, those interests of agriculture and those issues that people who are food insecure, who need to ensure that they can feed their families. And I hope that we're going to do just that.
Our thanks to California 21st District Representative Jim Costa, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. America's sweetest industry creates jobs and provides a sustainably produced food ingredient. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nally.